Hey, good singing all the way around. Hey, thanks, young man, for singing your new song that you wrote and all that business there. I like to hear stuff like that every now and again. It's good to be saved to know the Lord. How about that right there? Is that it yet?
It's good right there. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. I appreciate the good songs of Zion, the good singing, songwriters, singers, and so forth and on. It's just good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And so take your Bible, if you will, 2 Chronicles in chapter number 7. When you look there in the passage there, if you're able to stand, look in verse number 1. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you. Thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight when the fire fell. And you look in this lesson here and you find out that Solomon had wanted to be able to build the house of God. David wanted to do it, but God wouldn't let him because he was a man of war and that he had shed blood. And he said, but I'm going to let your son do it. I'll let your son build me the house of God. And as a result of that, you'll find out is that now they've not only got it built, but here they are praying, as it were, for revival. And let me tell you, the answer they're going to get is going to come from heaven. It's going to be by fire. You know, that's the very one thing there that when Cain slew Abel, the reason why he knew that God was happy with Abel but not with Cain. Do you realize that, no, well, they had a sacrifice. You remember how Cain's was. It was beautiful and all, you know, what a picturesque of a thing that it was, piled up there, the fruits and stuff. And there's Abel's offering, you know, what a bloody thing that was. And, buddy, when the fire fell, it took up the offering there of the Lord that was offered by Abel, but Cain didn't get moved, and that's how he knew that God wasn't pleased with him. As a result, he goes out like many of us do and pouts and sits down, and finally God comes looking for him, and whenever he does, he asks him, he said, listen, if you'd have done what was right, well, wouldn't you be able to reap the blessing of God just like your brother did? But no, he didn't want that. No, he was bad boy. He was pouting. You couldn't talk him into nothing whatsoever. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, Baptists are the world's worst for not getting along. Or is there anybody here not along with somebody in the church? Well, just hang on. Before the night's out, maybe you will be. We don't want you to lose a moment of getting crossways with somebody if you possibly can. That's just the way Baptists are. It reminds me of the gal, you know, that she got stranded on a deserted island. Wasn't nobody on there but her. She was in a shipwreck, plane wreck, whatever it was. She ended up on this island. Wasn't another soul there but her. 20 years later, they found her there. And, man, I'm telling you, you would have thought she'd have been glad that she looked like she'd already had her a hut, a city, a block of huts that were there. And somebody asked her, said, now, what's this hut here for? What's it been for? Oh, she said, that's where I live. I live in that hut there. And said, all right, well, then what about this hut over here? And she said, oh, yeah. I said, that's where I go to church. Well, that's very nice of you. That's nice. Where's this other hut here? She said, that's where I used to go to church. That's the way Baptists are, buddy. We got the eyes and nails and used to beers and this and that. I got to tell you, it's good to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And it's good to be able to pray and feel the fire and the presence of God come down. You ever be just praying at the altar or praying at your house and you just knew you wasn't making contact with anybody except that annoying flyer, one of them screaming kids? And then there's other times you could get a hold of God and God would get a hold of you. That's revival, see. There's a lot of times, you know, when you begin to look into this Bible lesson here, do you know over there, this is the passage we quote often or preach from often. Notice in verse 14 of the same chapter, by people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, I want to tell you something right there. Whenever you look at that, look in verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attentive to the prayer that's made in this place. What place he talking about? Talking about the house of God that they just offered sacrifices in. He said, now mine eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayer that's made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and that mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. If you don't know what the word perpetually, I had to look it up, but here's what it means. From one sunrise to the next sunset to the next sunrise, you're getting it over and over. It's just never ending. God has got his eye upon the house of God. Now, many times we don't, but God always does. From sun up to sun down to sun thereafter and so forth and on. Now, I was glad when they looked at that right there and he said it's going to be forever. And he said, for as for thee, he said, walk before me as David thy father walked, do according to that I have commanded thee, and thou shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, so forth and on. Now, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me talk about, just for a few moments, a little thing that's fun to be able to preach on, and that is real God-given, God-sent, heaven-sent revival. Now, here's what ends up happening when God is beginning to do that. First of all is God will stir you up to get a hold of yourself. Remember reading over in Isaiah about chapter number 64, and he talked about that our very righteousness was as filthy rags. Remember that? And then he said, yet no one is stirring themselves up to grab hold of God. I can tell you what ends up happening when you do finally stir up and get stirred up and get a hold of God, and God gets a hold of you, it'll just make a better life for you. He'll cleanse your way, grant you mercy, give you faith to believe what he had to say and what he'd done. And what a wonderful thing that it is whenever revival moves in our midst. I'll tell you what revival does is it'll renew your conviction, make you want to look right, walk right, talk right, and spit white. I mean, it just does. In this lesson here that you're looking at, and I said every now and again, you know, revival is something that happens for a child of God. You know, we live in a world right now that absolutely has no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, or decent, and they don't have any idea what God says about revival in the Word of the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, I don't know if you've missed it or not, but the place of revival is down at the house of God. You show me people, you know, that are in church and out of church or more out than they are in. I'll show you people that don't have revival and never experienced revival. Some people, you know, every now and again, if you were to ask them and say, hey, let me ask you this, how far or close are you to God? How far away have you drifted from the Lord? I'll tell you. You can always tell it because of the fact that you'll go the way of the world. You'll think like them and look like them and act like them, smell like them. I'll tell you something, the place of revival's down at the house of God. I know people every now and again get over in the book of Ephesians, don't turn there. Chapter number 2, by verse number 21, the Bible said unto him, be glory in the church. Now, I know some people that say, well, you know, I don't go to church much, but I do want to bring glory to God. Well, you can't bring glory to God if you're not going to the house of God. You see, if you're laying out and you're not going to the house of God in a regular basis, unto him be glory in the house of God. And I can tell you right now is that we live in a world that somehow or another, I want to say just so you'll know it, we live in a world that somehow or another is religious and drunk. You know, there's just no such thing in the Bible as a saved beer-drinking Baptist. No such thing as that. We don't have time to go into all of that, but it's there. And make no mistake about it, buddy. Listen. Do we believe in liquor drinking Baptists in America? Well, I believe they're going to hell. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of them out. We got the drunks to prove it. This is a drunkard nation, and we got the drunks to prove it. You know the reason why some of my kin folks don't want to be come to the house of God? Same reason yours don't. They like a little toddy for the body every now and again. They want to be able to sip a few suds, and they don't want to face the fact that here's what the Word of the Lord said. Whenever Hannah was praying and he accused her of being drunk, she said, oh no, I'm not a servant of Belial. I'm not an apostate. I'm not a false religionist. And you see that? Let me tell you right now, is when you begin to look, the place of revival is down at the house of God. I was thinking about whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find is that over there in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter number 28, verse number 17, did you know there's going to be somebody who's going to come up and they're going to tell you, well, you know, I believe that you don't have to go to church in order to be a good Christian. Really? Well, in Genesis 28 that we just quoted in 17, it says that the house of God's a gate to heaven. You know, if you're not in the gate, you're not going to be able to meet the door, and that's Jesus Christ. And make no mistake about it, when you get washed by the blood, born into the family of God, you'll have to come to Him as an empty-handed beggar. Now, I don't care that if you're preteen, in your teens, or out of your teens, is that the word of the Lord's the same for everybody and for everyone, and regardless of where you hail from. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, you'll find the place of revival has always been, it is now, it will be tomorrow. And God said, my eyes upon it, my ears tuned into it. And let me tell you right now, you'll find from one son to the next son up, to the next son down, and so forth and on. In this lesson here that you're looking at, God's always looking. Hey, you know, if God's looking here in that lesson, if God's looking in verse 16, for now I've chosen, I've sanctified this house, talking about the house of God, that my name may be there forever, and that mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. You know what that says? Is that God never doesn't see what's going on down at the house of God. You know, if God's looking here tonight, if you're not here and you're supposed to be, He knows why you're not. Make no mistake about it, you'll not have to answer to me for it, but you will have to answer to God. I only have to answer to keep you reminded about what God's wanting in your life. If you're at the house of God, you're where you ought to be on the Lord's day, you see. I begin to think about in this lesson that's here is that the place of revival is right down here at God's house. I'll tell you something else about it. A revival's not for just anyone. I hear a lot of people all the time, you know, that are talking about revival this, revival that, and then they'll show a bunch of long-haired hippie-looking guys, you know, that look nasty. Not because they got big nostrils and there's boogers up in their nose shining everywhere, because that old nasty-looking, grease-filled, matted hair that they've got. And they're wanting to sing something for the Lord. Now, not our Lord. Can't be our Lord. Because I can tell you right now, that crowd right there, you know, the Bible said that we're, how was it that was put over in the book of Matthew? He says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, and neither cast your pearls before swine, or vice versa. And he said, lest they turn again and rend you, and they'll do it. Sometimes, you know, when you're busy preaching, busy praying, busy teaching, busy witnessing, somebody is going to hate your guts for having stood with God and for the glory of God. Revival's down at the house of God, and the people of revival are you and I that are saved by the wonderful, marvelous grace of God. Not just religious, but have been saved, saved, saved by the marvelous grace of God. I don't know about you, but it does me good to be able to know that. We're part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And let me tell you, it's a holy nation and a peculiar people, and the world has no idea nor clue what we're talking about. Yes. Number three is, I want to tell you what the position of revival is in this chapter that's here, and that is in a place of humility. You're going to be able to have the right position to where God will hear you. You're going to have to humble yourself in the sight of the God. You're going to have to get to the place in your life to where that there's a holiness that is going to be upon you. And the position is when you've bowed your head and your heart unto the Lord and you've asked Him to do something real in your heart that'll be lasting for all eternity. I can't help it, but I'll tell you something. It's better felt than telt, and I love telling about it. But it's good to know the Lord. And I'm not going on a feeling. I was driving down the road years ago, and I noticed up there on some billboard, somebody said, I'm not going on a feeling, but I can feel what I'm going on. That's good, isn't it? We're not just dead, dull, dry, going through the motion. I'm glad to be able to be in the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I'm just like you. There's times, you know, this flesh will go to getting in your way, won't it? And all that. I had a man one time that wanted to say something. He said, "Now, I ain't been in church in a little while." Said, "Y'all all know how. I'm sure even the preacher knows what I'm talking about." And I had to get him saying, "No, sir, I don't know what you're talking about." Yeah, I've never had a time that I've laid out for months and months at a time. I never have had that. Since the day I got saved, God put me in, put my feet on the solid rock, established my going. I've been going with Him, for Him, hand in hand with Him ever since. Every now and again, I have an argument with Him. I know you've never probably had one, but every now and again I've had an argument. You know, every time He's won. Every time. "Lord, I don't see why you're doing this or why you've done that or why you've allowed this or why you've allowed..." I'm going to tell you right now is that if you want to lose revival in your soul, you're going to try to question God about what He's doing. Yes, now, not for information part that you might... But He knows that I'm but ashes in the sight of the Lord. And I'm glad to know that He loves me in spite of who and what I am. But I don't never want to get to the place to where that I lose sight of the fact that He sees me as I am and loved me in spite of who and what I've been. I'm glad to say to you as we get ready to close tonight is that you'll find that there's a promise that God gave of revival. Do you know what He talked about in that passage there? Is that here's what He said, "I'm going to heal their land." Now, you know what kind of healing that is? That's where it won't never break out again. I move around a little bit, and if I move just right to be wrong, I had picked up my boat, remember, the other day, and I'm just now getting over it real good. I picked it up because it came off the ball. I never have had that done, but it came off the ball, and me and Connor Ray were there to pick it up, and we were there in center, and I could tell, hey, something's going to be heard after this and all of that. Was you ever sore any? That's what you get for letting your pawpaw pick that up. No, I'm telling you right now, he's young, strong, muscle bound. I couldn't have made it without him. But I will tell you something right now is that when God says that I'll hear their prayer, I'll heal their land. You know what that means? It'll never break out again when God puts a healing on it. Somebody said, "Yeah, God's healed me of it." And I said, "Well, why are you holding it for?" "Well, it's still a little sore." If God ever does a work of grace and healing in your heart and your life, I can tell you what will happen is it won't break out again on you. Now, until then, is that if you go to getting, if you think you've got bad stuff going on with you tonight, you wait till you get in your 70s. And once you do, you're going to remember. I know Brother John's probably thinking, "Well, what about 80? I ain't made it there yet." But I can tell you right now, dear friend, make no mistake about it, is that there's a promise to be giving you revival in your heart. And you know, it doesn't mean that you have to have anything that you could grab hold of, that you could physically see and all of that. Now, some of you may be like this. "I've been praying about a new car." Okay. Well, just remember, if God lets you get it, don't be fussing at Him later when the note comes due. "Lord, what'd you let me have this car for?" You mean the car you asked about, you were in agony about, that you prayed and cried about, that you made a lot of promises about? Yeah, that's the one. You were listening good, weren't you? I want to say in closing that you know the reason why the purpose of revival is given in this chapter here that we're looking at, that we might be able to rejoice in the Lord and how good God's been, and be able to show forth His praise with thanksgiving unto a lost and to a dying world. You know what revival does? Really, it'll renew your strength. It'll renew your joy. It'll renew your love, not only for Him, but for others that are around about you. You see, in that lesson that we were looking at, preacher here, and I guess the boys or some of his family, they went to Atwoods, put out a few tracks. I remember, and that's a good deal. We've done that on more than one occasion. I was talking about those places over in Louisiana back when we lived there being liquor stores, and they all are. And so anyhow, we had a campaign among just our church. I mean, certainly not going to get a Roman Catholic to be able to go and put gospel tracts in where the liquor bottles are. We'd stick them in between them, you know. We'd take a tract, we'd stick them in between them. Go all the way down through there. They'd have several rows, and it'd go a long ways. And then every now and again, store owner, manager, would call me, preacher, I know you probably don't even know it, but some of your people have come over here and stuck gospel tracts in between the liquor bottles, and man, we got lots of people. And he said, anyhow, I just was wondering if you could put a stop to it. I said, well, no, I don't want to put a stop to it. I'm the one that told him to go do it. And I'm sorry that you're doing so well selling liquor. But do you have any idea what God said about that? See? Well, he wasn't interested in that whatsoever and all that business there. So finally, you know, everything runs its course, so forth and on. But I will tell you, we had the town stirred up for a little while. And boy, I'd have nasty phone calls and notes written to me. I had a lady that owned the nursing home there. She wasn't in our church. She said, I want to ask you, Brother Anderson. We were there in front of the post office. And they're in town. And she says, I just wish you were a little more ecumenical. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I can't be because the Lord is not, see. And she said, well, you know, there's some other preachers in town that they work together jointly and all. I said, well, hey, go ahead and deal with them. They'll probably do exactly what you're wanting. But I'm not going to yoke up with people that have got something contrary to the mind of God and the word of the Lord. One of these days, if you ever come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, then you'll know that I've done what was right in the sight of the Lord. I hope it's not until don't wait until he's coming again, and then it's too late. But I hope that God will speak to your heart and let you see something's wrong with what you got or don't have, and that you need something he has that'll be right for you. I just wonder tonight, is that anything like you are? Then while we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and as we get ready to leave here this evening. Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unloved. I want to thank you now that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. I pray that, Lord, that you'd save every soul that'll repent toward God, and, Lord, that'll respond with a broken heart and with all their heart. I pray that, Lord, that you'd watch over these others that we mentioned tonight. Give the Herod's traveling mercies. Give this lady, Lord, that may have cancer. I pray you'd help her. And I pray for these others. And then I pray for those tracts that were put out over at Atwoods. And, Lord, may it make an impact for Christ on somebody's heart. Bless, I pray now, this church. Thank you for a privilege to be part of it. I pray your blessings now upon these boys and girls and men and women. There's one here that's lost without God. May you knock on their heart's door until they find peace with thee. We'll say thank you in advance for all of that.